You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wrap Around. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, I have an interview with Carolina Teague. She is a Dallas Cowboys analyst for ESPN 97.5 in Houston, Texas. She is also a San Antonio Spurs insider for San Antonio Sports Star, a writer for the San Antonio Spurs SB Nation blog, Pounding the Rock. Also, she's a writer for Sports As Told by a Girl, which is a website dedicated to covering sports from a woman's perspective. And she also has a cool podcast called League of Her Own. And also, she's a ring announcer for the San Antonio, Texas-based wrestling promotion, River City Wrestling. She is definitely not a jack of all trades, but a Jill of all trades. And she's a native of the Windy City of Chicago, Illinois. And she's a diehard Bears fan. On the program, I have her talking about the Bears' loss to the Detroit Lions in Week 10, and we also discuss Justin Fields. We also talk about head coach Matt Eberflus and the Bears' next game against the Atlanta Falcons in Week 11 of the 2022 NFL season. So we're at the midway point, and Thanksgiving is right around the corner. So from my family to yours, we want to wish you an early happy Thanksgiving. And, man, it's the NFL season, this is when the NFL season really starts, right at late November. Chris Collinsworth always said is that when the weather gets colder, that's when we find out what teams are really made of, especially the teams that have the difficult schedules that play outdoors. They're going to have to travel throughout much of the year. So we're going to find out what is really going to go on with these teams as we're in between now and mid-November and going into January. Before we get into the show, we're going to give you some scores from Week 10's most important games in the NFL. Let's start off with Thursday night football between the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers in an NFC South showdown. The Panthers beat the Falcons 25-15. In the NFL International Series in Munich, Germany, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trying to get the show back on the road as the Bucs beat the Seahawks 21-16. The Miami Dolphins handled their business beating the Cleveland Browns 39-17. And what may have been the game of the year, the Minnesota Vikings squaring off against the Buffalo Bills. It went to overtime with the Vikings coming back to beat Buffalo 33-30. The Arizona Cardinals took on the Los Angeles Rams in an NFC West showdown. Arizona would beat the Rams 27-17. The Dallas Cowboys took on the Green Bay Packers in this historic rivalry game at Lambeau Field. It went to overtime, but the Packers would go on to beat the Cowboys, final score 31-28. Sunday Night Football saw the Los Angeles Chargers squaring off against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers would go on to win 22-16. Monday Night Football, the Washington Commanders squared off against the once undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. In this classic NFC East rivalry game, the Commanders, they took command in Philly, beating the Eagles 32-31. And those were the scores from my most important games from Week 10 in the National Football League. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with the Philadelphia Eagles, and then there were none. That's right. The Philadelphia Eagles would lose to the Washington Commanders this past Monday night on Monday Night Football, giving them their first loss of the year. So as I stated earlier, and then there were none. So now the surviving members of the 1972 Miami Dolphins team, Mercury Morris, Larry Zonka, and the rest of the crew, they're popping champagne because now they remain the only undefeated team currently in the National, or the only team to have an undefeated season in the National Football League. So first things first, it's tough to win in professional sports week in and week out, day in and day out. It is hard to win in the National Football League. And for the first eight games, the Philadelphia Eagles were so automatic. Now with them losing a game, guess what? This could be a game changer for them in the season because now some of that pressure is off of them now having to stay undefeated and having to play near perfect. But the rest of their schedule could pose a challenge. So after losing to the Commanders this past Monday night, the remaining schedule that they have is they're at Indianapolis. Then they're going to play Green Bay, Then they're going to go up against Tennessee. And then there's the game on Christmas Eve against the Cowboys. And then on New Year's Day, they play the New Orleans Saints. And then they end the year in Philly against the Giants. So this could go either way. Indianapolis is going to be a win. Green Bay, Tennessee, tough games. The way the Giants have played this year is going to be a tough game. Chicago and Dallas, it could go either way. It's going to be a surefire win against the Saints and the Giants to end the year in Philly. It could go either way. But the bottom line is this. The Eagles, no longer undefeated, but guess what? I think in some ways it may have been a blessing in disguise for them because, let's face it, it takes that pressure off of them. And especially, as I said earlier, late November going into January is when the NFL season really starts. The weather gets colder. Teams get adjusted. And the schedules can get tougher for a lot of teams in the league. And this is what separates the men from the boys. Can Jalen Hurts get the job done in this second half of the NFL season? I think he can get it done. I think the running backs, the running game for Philly is definitely capable of doing so. Also, the wide receivers are going to be good. A.J. Brown's fine. Devontae Smith is going to be just fine. The only question is that at the tight end position, Dallas Goedert suffered the injury Monday night against Washington. He's going to be on injured reserve. So they're going to monitor him. He's going to be out for a minute. And then also, the rookie Jordan Davis is going to be on injured reserve as well. But they did sign veteran defensive lineman Linval Joseph, and he's got a lot of experience. So Philadelphia is going to be okay. It's going to be a situation where one person several players have gotten hurt. They've been able to do the plug and play throughout much of the year. But again, as I read the Eagles' remaining schedule earlier, it's going to be a little tough. I mean, there's some games that they can win and there's some games it can go either way, but just stay tuned and let's see if Philadelphia can finish strong the rest of the way. My next storyline is going to be Dallas in Green Bay. What a game it was. If you listened to the show last week, the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers were my game of the week, and it lived up to the hype. This game was hyped up so much that Fox had promoted the game 2 weeks before the day of the game. So Fox was promoting this game 2 weeks up until the game that was played this past Sunday. And if you know about the history of the Cowboys-Packers rivalry, you can go back as far as the Ice Bowl in 67. Also, of course, those great games in the 90s with the Cowboys with having Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, Darryl Johnston, of course, Charles Haley, just to name a few, going up against those Packer teams. Of course, with the likes of Amari Chamora, Reggie White, and so on and so forth. Of course, Tony Romo throwing the ball to Dez Bryant. Was it a catch? Was it not a catch? The infamous Dez caught it catch. And, of course, with Aaron Rodgers with the Hail Mary going for it on the fourth down with Jared Cook completing the pass. We know how these games have gone. And that game this past Sunday just continued to add to the legacy of the Cowboys-Packers rivalry. We don't know when their next meeting is going to be, but I hope we don't have to wait too long because, man, this is exciting. We're seeing Aaron Rodgers. Everyone's going to tune in to watch them and see what they're going to bring to the table, the many storylines in that soap opera. So it's going to be interesting, but bottom line is this. Dallas and Green Bay, it lived up to the hype. It was the continuation of a fantastic rivalry that has gone back to the 1960s, and definitely something that's definitely just going to continues to get better and better year in and year out. So kudos to Dallas and Green Bay, and kudos to Fox for promoting that game 2 weeks in advance. And it was definitely worth the hype. It was all steak, and it was definitely all sizzle by Dallas and Green Bay. And my last storyline is going to be Tom Brady. I'm not going to go into the man's personal life. You know what's been going down, trouble in paradise. That's behind them. He's trying to move forward. And Tampa Bay has not only won one game, but they're on a two-game winning streak, beating the L.A. Rams the week before. And then this past Sunday, they beat the Seattle Seahawks as a part of the NFL International Series in Munich, Germany. So are the Buccaneers back to be that way? It looks like Tom Brady has gotten his mojo back, or starting to get his mojo back. And I guess the cool thing about Brady and the Buccaneers is that the NFC South has been bad this year. The Saints have struggled. Atlanta's been off and on. And Carolina, they're just in the Bryce Young and the C.J. Stroud sweepstakes. And there was some concern with Tom Brady and the Buccaneers during the week. Bruce Arians was saying that before the game in Germany, he had said that Tom had been playing bad, and he just bluntly criticized him and said that, you know, he hadn't smiled in practice really this whole year. He just recently started smiling in practice. So, again, we know about the personal issues. We know about trouble in paradise. But bottom line is this, the Buccaneers are starting to get in a good position now. Again, everything is in their favor right now. The division is not good. So basically everything is in reach for them right now to win the NFC South and maybe get a home game, a home playoff game, maybe a second seed, third seed. We'll have to see. I mean, we're just starting to get to the heart of the NFL season. But bottom line is this, it seems as though Tom Brady has found his way or starting to find his way. And right now everything is flowing, at least for the time being, Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Carolina Teague. Carolina is a Dallas Cowboys analyst for 97.5 in Houston, Texas, and she's also a San Antonio Spurs insider for San Antonio Sports Star. She's also a writer for the San Antonio Spurs SB Nation blog, Pounding the Rock. And she also writes for a website that's dedicated to covering sports from a woman's perspective, Sports as Told by a Girl. And she's also the host of a League of Her Own podcast. She's also a ring announcer for River City Wrestling, which is a San Antonio, Texas-based wrestling promotion. She's a native of Chicago, and she loves her Chicago Bears. On the program, we go recap the Chicago Bears game against the Detroit Lions. We also discuss Justin Fields, Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. We also talk the Bears' next game against the Atlanta Falcons and much more. Carolina is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Looking for something to do this weekend? When it comes to sports, nothing beats cheering your team on live. Vivid Seats has tickets for every league, all the best matchups at great prices, and all with a 100% buyer guarantee. Plus, they're the only ticketing company where you can earn rewards with every purchase. No one else has that. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today and use SPORTS for $10 off your first $100 purchase. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Mooney in motion.
Mooney in the flat.
Fields pumps. Flag down. Fields breaks the tackle. Fields on the scramble.
Get
Fields
out of here.
In for the touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
Justin Fields!
First and goal. Fields on the run. Throwing for the end zone. Komet leaping high to pull it in for a Bears touchdown. Fields setting up. Looking deep. Komet wide open.
He's got it. Cole Komet to the house. 50-yard Bears touchdown.
Third down, Fields will
yank it, and there's room to run for Fields.
Fields,
turn it on the speed. Fields on the angle, trying to outrace Okuda, and he'll beat him to the goal line for the touchdown.
Oh, wow. He's already the leading rusher on third downs.
Big way.
And watch this.
67 yards for the touchdown.
We're getting man-to-man. Fields. In trouble.
Fields chase. Breaks free of two tacklers. Now trying to break the third. And Okwara has him. Julian Okwara with
look
the
at
sack.
He was just exhausted.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and Fox Sports, the NFL on Fox. And that was the Chicago Bears in action from week 10 of the 2022 NFL season against the Detroit Lions. What a game it was at Soldier Field in Chicago. The Bears came up short, losing to their NFC North division rival, Detroit Lions. To talk more about this game, we have her back on. She is a Chicago native. She loves her Chicago Bears. She is currently an analyst for the Dallas Cowboys for ESPN 97.5 in Houston. She's also a Spurs insider for the San Antonio Sports Star. Also, she has a podcast called League of Her Own, and she's also a writer for SB Nation, of course, Pounding the Rock. And also, she's involved in sports. She's a writer for Sports As Told by a Girl, and of course, she does her thing in the professional wrestling world as a ring announcer for River City Wrestling, RCW Wrestling, in San Antonio. They say she's a jack of all trades, but she is a Jill of all trades, Carolina Teague. Hey, Carolina, what's going on?
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. It's always such an awesome time talking to you.
Same here. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. What an emotional game it was between the Bears and the Lions. It didn't end well for Chicago. What were your takeaways from the Bears-Lions game at Soldier Field, Carolina?
I mean, the main takeaways are this, is that Justin Fields immediately made his presence known into the game, and he's been doing such an incredible job as of late. You're really seeing him thrive and just being exceptional. But it looks like to me, it was just a really, you know, interesting game. I mean, they were pretty much tied, and then towards the end of the first half, Detroit got the edge up, and Chicago came back. They had, in the second half of the game, they had three touchdowns. After that third touchdown, then they got an interception touchdown, and they got an additional touchdown after that. But what held it off is that those final three drives of the game where the Chicago Bears ended up having to punt it out, the defense played exceptionally well, holding the Bears' offense in downs. And Lions got the final touchdown of the game to win 30-31. So it was just really, you know, depressing, you know, if you're a Bears fan. But if you're a Lions fan, it was a really exhilarating game. And the Lions also, too. I mean, they got the defensive stand to hold off the upset over the Green Bay Packers the week prior before. So the Detroit Lions, you know, when it comes down to being able to hold off games when it matters, they're able to do that. And unfortunately, you know, there was a lot of great things for the Bears, but that's still not good enough. Moral victories don't make me happy, and the Bears are currently at the bottom of the NFC.
You're absolutely right about that. Moral victories don't get the job done in the National Football League, Carolina. We're going to get more into special teams and, of course, the other stuff in this interview. I want to start off with the running game for a moment. We'll get to Justin Fields and more in just a moment. Khalil Herbert, he's really stepped up his game this year for Chicago. We know about the history of the Bears and their offense and how much they love their running backs, from Walter Payton to Gale Sayers to Neil Anderson, of course, Thomas Jones and the late Cedric Benson. And of course, David Montgomery also played a big role in the Bears offense. Khalil had 10 carries for 57 yards, and David had 9 carries for 37 yards. Give me your thoughts on Khalil and David's performance against Detroit.
I mean, they've done an incredible job. There's really nothing for me to say about them, because I think that between Khalil Herbert and the running game, they basically just dominate. I mean, the Bears pretty much boast the NFL's best run game, and they one of the best run games in the NFL, and they average about 181 rushing yards per game. So this game by far was also not an exception either, because this past game they had they pretty much were dominant in rushing. I think that's what's been incredible with the Chicago Bears offense. They've always had that issue where the offense could not produce. But now you're seeing a lot more efficiency in regards to being having third down efficiencies or having rushing on the first down, which I really enjoy. They're doing way more rushing attempts than we're used to, and I really like seeing that aspect of them. But between the run game, I mean, they're really well. The offense, for the first time this year, or actually, I'm sorry, since early in the 2000s, they have had more than 30 points in the game. That was one of the breakthrough moments that the Chicago Bears offense has had, because seeing a Chicago Bears game with 30 plus points is something that, you know, we can't take for granted. And obviously there's a breakthrough in the offense, but the defense really has been getting exposed. And it's unfortunate because you lose somebody like Robert Quinn, and then you lose somebody like Roquan Smith, and that really kind of puts a damper on the defense. But the rushing game has been nothing to complain about by any means.
You know what, Carolina, we talked about the running game. I want to talk about the receivers for a moment. Cole Kmet. Him and Justin Fields have really connected this year. In this game against Detroit, Cole had 4 catches for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's emerging as a solid tight end in the NFL. Give me your thoughts on Cole and his play in this game.
I mean, I agree with you. He is emerging as a solid tight end, and that was something that the Bears struggled with as far as the positional need the past few years. With the addition of Cole Kmet, he's somebody that the Chicago Bears can rely on. He you could tell Fields feels really comfortable with him. When they were 2nd and 18 from their own 17-yard line, Fields was obviously pressured by the Lions defense. He was able to drift back, and he had a floater to Cole Kmet. And, it, you know, it's those type of plays where he trusts him to where, you know, you can see their chemistry is really well. But not only that, you can tell that the offense in general trusts the Chicago Bears. And the thing about it is the Bears really had a positional need for a wide receiver, and then they added Chase Claypool. So, you know, now they're seeming to be, you know, coming to be a lot more complete as of late.
All right, and then we had another receiver that did well in this game, Darnell Mooney. He stepped up his game. He's emerged as a quality receiver for the Bears the last several years. He had 4 catches for 57 yards. Give me your thoughts on Darnell and his play.
When it comes to wide receivers, Darnell Mooney is the main wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. He, to me, is a solid positional wide receiver. But I feel like in order for them to emerge even better, they needed an additional wide receiver. Adding Chase Claypool, to me, is that extra positional person that they need on the field for them to emerge even better and just be more used as a weapon for Justin Fields. But I think that Darnell Mooney has been effective since he's come onto the Bears. I hardly have complaints about anything that he does, and I really enjoy watching Justin Fields connect to Darnell Mooney when he needs to.
Yeah, those two are really dynamic, and they seem to have a good chemistry going, just like with Justin and Cole Kmet. I want to get over to the defensive side for a moment. The leading tackler in this game was Jack Sanborn, and he had 9 tackles in this game, and he also had 2 sacks in this game. Give me your thoughts on Jack and his performance in this game.
I mean, he's the rookie for the Chicago Bears, and I mean, he also had a team-high 12 tackles, and he's very instinctual. He makes a lot of plays on the ball. Matt Eberflus says he also reads on the keys, and he's always been that way. So the Chicago Bears themselves, they're really set on him being excellent based off the way he's been playing. And no other undrafted rookie has had a multi-sack game in the league this year. So that says a lot about how he is really, really a vital, important piece to the Chicago Bears. And that was his 2nd straight game, and he had the Bears only 2 sacks of the game. So he's a very, very effective person, and he's a rookie. So it's a high ceiling for him, and it's great.
I want to talk now about the quarterback for Chicago, Justin Fields. In this game, he had 2 touchdown passes to go along with 167 passing yards. But, man, Justin Fields had 147 yards rushing and 2 rushing touchdowns. When you know about we always talk about it when I have you on, Carolina, about the quarterback position in the Bears organization. It's always has seemed as the quarterback has always been a complimentary piece for the Bears. We've seen it with Jim McMahon, a solid arm, athletic ability. Rex Grossman, not athletic, but had a strong arm, and we've seen it with the likes of Cade McNown and Jim Miller and things of that nature. But give me your thoughts on Justin's play in this contest.
I mean, I really have no complaints about Justin Fields. I mean, there were games this season where he threw picks, and, you know, people questioned whether he could fit in the system or not, and people were saying, you know, is – he write for Chicago? And this has been a talking point for people who follow the Chicago Bears for years. It's always been a quarterback issue, no matter what. And I think the last time you and I talked, we had a really good conversation about Justin Fields and how I was really excited about this was the quarterback that they needed. The way he played in Ohio State in college was something that was exciting and something to look forward to. And now you start to see him getting adjusted with the time of the NFL games. You see him getting acclimated to the Chicago Bears system, and you see him just getting better with every single rep. And this is the second week in a row that Justin Fields has been a top quarterback, and he is the first quarterback in NFL history to record 100 rush yards with 2 touchdown passes and runs, like you said. So now he has the most rush yards over a 5-game span in the new Super Bowl era. So my thing is this, if Justin Fields is that effective, what do you really have to complain about? I mean, maybe if there's this game where he has clutch, he has to be effective in clutch moments, but it's not really a Justin Fields fault. It's more so of the offensive line's fault more than anything, because Justin Fields, if he can get some space, if he can get some timing to rush if he needs to and go where he needs to go, he's going to take the ball into his own hands, and he's going to get the touchdown himself if he has to. I feel like Justin Fields will try to get anything happen by any means necessary, and that includes him having to get touchdowns himself. So no complaints on the way that he is, and I'm excited to see the offense as a totality emerge. And like I said, adding Chase Claypool is going to be a vital piece for that, so I'm excited.
Absolutely. I'm excited about it as well because, again, with Chicago's offense, we've talked about this, Carolina, from time to time. It's been anemic, not exciting, and we were just waiting for we talked about the Trubisky era, how it was just stagnant, and, you know, fans were just waiting for something to happen. Can just throw the ball downfield. But now the last several weeks we've seen Justin Fields take chances throwing the ball downfield and running as well. And I want to stay just with Justin for a moment. This game against Detroit and the game week 9 against the Miami Dolphins, he went back-to-back for over 170 yards rushing. Are you worried that Justin could get hurt seriously if they run him a little too much where they know they have Khalil and David handling the running ability, or are you confident that Justin can have free reign in terms of running the ball?
I think I want to speak positive energy into existence. I don't want anything to happen to Justin Fields. I'm going to light my candles and my sage to make sure nothing ever happens to him, because he is the guy for Chicago, bar none, based off of his performances, whether you like him or not, whether you criticize him heavily or not. The fact that he's the most exciting quarterback to come out of Chicago in years says a lot. So if I'm afraid he's going to get injured, it could happen. Obviously, there's people on the defense who are much bigger than him. They might squash him, break his leg. They might, you know, he might injure himself just based on getting tackled by one of the bigger guys. And you have a good point. You have people like David Montgomery. You have people like Khalil Herbert. You have bigger guys who are supposed to be those pieces of the puzzle. But I liked his mentality of getting a touchdown by any means necessary. And as long as Chicago Bears can make that offense a lot more stronger and healthier, there should be no reason why he has to run the touchdown in himself. But if he has to, I think he'll do it and he'll be fine.
One more question about Justin. You mentioned about the recent losses of Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith at the trade deadline. And the MO of Chicago has always been running game and defense. I mean, after all, they are the nickname team is the Monsters of the Midway. Do you see a shift happening where we could see the Bears go from being primarily known for defense and going over to becoming a quality and a high-powered offense?
You know, it could happen. You never say never. I mean, I feel like there's trends when it comes to football teams. Chicago's always been number one on defense. That's their main concern, their main priority. But they've always let the offense be a little bit lackluster, and they never wanted to capitalize on making sure that both sides of the ball were really, really strong. But then you have now this new emergence of the offense, and you see the defense kind of take a little dip. And, you know, even Eddie Jackson, you know, gets a little bit frustrated. He says that it eats him up inside as a defensive player, and it makes him feel like he's not helping. And he also said that, you know, he wants to make every play if he possibly could. And he's getting paid a pretty penny to be a strong safety for the team. And he has his moments of emergences where he gets pick sixes and he's just really effective as a safety. But he is very hard as a leader and as a veteran on the team. He's making it very clear that the Bears have to do their job on defense as well. Now, you can say that all day long, but if you don't have the talent to back it up, then you really just can't do anything about it. There's a ton of great offensive teams in the NFL. Now, my answer to do we see a shift? If we do, honestly, it wouldn't surprise me, because it seems like we're looking at a shift right now, because they've had 30-plus points and they've been really effective the past several games playing great on offense. But my main thing is I'd rather them be good on offense or defense or both, instead of none at all, like we saw in the Trestman area. In the Trestman area, they weren't good on offense or defense. They were just all around just a hot garbage mess.
Yeah, they were a hot garbage mess, but it's good to see that you're getting the balance. There's nothing like balance in professional sports, mm-hmm. and especially in the NFL, when you can get it done on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. I want to stay just kind of like with this shift that is kind of starting to happen with the Bears from defense to offense. How vocal has Virginia McCaskey been in terms of getting the offense going, or just having a say-so in terms of the play of Justin Fields as well as contributors on the offensive side?
I mean, she's been a little bit vocal, but my thing is this. You know, they really don't have an update with Virginia in particular, because they're saying that she's had some health scares. And really the person who's been the vocal point of the Bears has been her son, George McCaskey. So she's been a little bit sick right now. They're saying that she might get back to her regular routine soon. And they're not really disclosing what's happening with her from a medical standpoint. But Mr. George McCaskey is usually the face of the franchise who does the speaking. And him, to me personally, I was so angry at their loss because I felt like it was so close. I mean, he actually even writes letters to fans, and he wrote last year that we may disagree about how the Bears get to winning, but we all want the same thing, for the Bears to be winners. Everyone at Halas Hall is doing everything they can to make that happen. So, I mean, they're vocal that they want to win, but between, you know, I express my frustration with the upper management. They've been making these empty promises for years. They even wrote in the paper a few years back when the Trestman era was going on and they let everybody go. They even said, thank you for your loyalty. And we're tired of hearing these empty promises. And I know that the Bears are in a rebuild phase and they have $150 million plus in cap space, but they seem to always be able to crack the top 10 in valuations every year. Right now, they're currently ranked at number 5 in valuation as far as generating revenue and income into the team. So to me, based off of men lie, women lie, numbers don't. To me, what seems more important to the McCaskies is making sure that bottom line is profitable and they're still ranked in the top 10. But their decisions do not look good as far as building a championship team. I'm getting in years and I'm frustrated, even though I know they're going through a rebuild phase. I know there's probably a light at the end of the tunnel with this new cap space. It's just, what are they going to do with this money? Are they going to build a winning product or no? Because right now they're 3-7. They're 4th in the NFC North. And to be quite honest with you, I'm just really frustrated with being a loyal follower of this team for years. So it's frustrating because they are vocal. They say they want to win, but actions speak louder than words. And I'm getting tired of empty promises.
Yeah, I think we're all tired of empty promises, man. And dealing with these franchises and the Bears, they've been going through the motions for quite some time. And I want to just stay in Bears management for a moment. The general manager in his first year, Ryan Poles. And, you know, Ryan has a football pedigree working in executive positions for a number of teams in the NFL. He was also a former player. How would you rate his performance as general manager of the team so far?
You know, I think time will tell. But right now, you know, I like his approach. It's a little bit different. He said he wants to take a hybrid approach when it comes to analytics and film study, and somebody who that reminds me of, who's not a GM, but it reminds me of a lot of what Mike McCarthy said when he first came to the Cowboys. And he thinks analytics and film study has a lot of benefits to offer. But he's also been different as to, you know, making sure that they're putting a winning product on the field. He's done a great job with, you know, moving the right pieces around to put the Bears in a position to reemerge as a successful team in the next few years. And only time will tell if he's effective or not. But I like the way that he is, you know, putting together the team. Looks like he's making the right decisions. However, only time will tell.
All right. I want to talk now about, speaking of only time will tell, in his first year as the head coach of the Bears, Matt Eberflus. Give me your thoughts on Coach Eberflus and how he's coached so far this season.
As far as his coaching, I don't know what to say because, you know, I feel like I said, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. And I've had a hard time evaluating as to whether the issues on the team are a talent issue or if they're a issue of coaching. And that's the part that I can't get past. But I do think that, like I said, this is his first time being a Bears coach. It's going to take him time to develop, and we really can't judge somebody right away. One of the main issues that the Bears have had is getting rid of coaches pretty quickly. And Mike Ditka has said in the past, you know, one of the big mistakes the Bears upper management is making is they have a huge turnover of coaching and GMs. In order to build a winning system and a winning team, you have to let the people stay for several years to see how they develop. Development doesn't just go into players. It also goes into coaching. It also goes into consistency with their staff. And I feel like the Bears regurgitate their coaching staff. So it's going to take time to really see if he's doing a good job or not. And I feel like year one is not a good year for me to make a true assessment just yet.
Yeah, you know, they say the NFL doesn't just stand for the National Football League. It also stands for not for long. And not for long will you have a head coaching job or a coordinator job. And Eberflus, I'm hoping he can at least stick around for year one because there are some coaches that are currently on the hot seat right now. And speaking of the hot seat, I don't know what's up with the Bears and the kicker position. I hate to mention his name, but a few years ago, Cody Parkey missed the field goal to beat the Eagles in the wild card playoff game. What the heck happened with Cairo Santos missing the extra point in the game against the Lions?
You know, that to me is a rare thing. I trust Cairo Santos with all my heart. And for this to be a game-winning kick and he missed it is so uncharacteristic for me in regards to him. I mean, he's one of the most accurate kickers in the NFL, and I was just a little bit confused as to how he missed the game winner, and he made 17 extra points prior to that missed one. It's very uncharacteristic of Cairo Santos to miss something, and I don't think that he should be compared to Cody Parkey by any stretch of the imagination. And with that Parkey game, by the way, he was playing against the Eagles. He had been on the Eagles before. They knew to ice the kicker. They knew he wasn't that great. But in these moments where wins count, Cairo Santos did drop the ball. But do I hold it over his head? No, because he has been very effective as a kicker. I wouldn't want to get rid of him. So between Cairo Santos and Robbie Gould, who has been another great kicker for the Chicago Bears, I don't think that he should be judged off of this one missed kick. I mean, you can only ask people to be effective for so long. if I had to really blame a loss on one of these teams, it would, or on one of these positional parts of the game, it would definitely have to be the defense. The defense has been the one who's been really dropping the ball the past few weeks.
All right, well, hopefully the Bears can get their kicking situation together, because they're going to be playing outdoors for the remainder of their schedule, and the winds blow pretty hard off of Lake Michigan. And I want to talk now about the Bears' next opponent for Week 11. They're going to be traveling to the south, to the ATL, to take on the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are playing in an atrocious NFC South division so far this year. They laid an egg on Thursday night against the Carolina Panthers. I want to start off with the Bears' defense. Marcus Mariota has been solid, not just throwing the ball, but running the ball this year. And, of course, they have the tight end at the tight end position, Kyle Pitts, and Cordarrelle Patterson, who's like a dynamo of an offensive player for the Falcons. What do you think needs to be the keys to victory for the Bears' defense to stop the Falcons' offense?
Stop the bleeding. That's the main thing. I mean, they just don't look good defensively, but the upside is the Falcons aren't that good offensively. So maybe this awful defense plus this awful offense will lead to a win for the Chicago Bears. So I'm hoping that the Falcons offense really drops the ball and Bears end up winning.
All right, let's switch over to the other end of the ball, the Bears offense. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for Justin Fields and the Bears offense to get points on the Falcons defense?
To me, I think what they're going to have to do is do the same thing that's been really working with them, relying on the run game. The run game is essentially the strong side of the Bears, so keep punching the ball in. I like how the Bears have been going for runs on their first downs. I like how they've been effective in the running game aspect, and I like how they've been effective with Justin Fields just being able to get points based off rushing yards. So continue to move with that momentum that the running game is having, and just keep developing that running situation. And, of course, I think another thing it would be great for them to do is to, of course, effectively pass the ball. And Chase Claypool, I'm waiting for him to have an emergence as a Chicago Bears. They said that it's going to take him several weeks to get used to the Chicago Bears offense. And they also said that Fields and Darnell Mooney, all the Cole Kmet, all those guys have been staying late, extra late with practice, so they could help get Chase Claypool acclimated. But I would like to see an emergence of Chase Claypool, and I think this could be the game that it could happen. So I'd like to see a lot of production from him.
Hopefully this is the game where we see Chase have his coming out party against the Atlanta Falcons. And you have it for Week 11, the Chicago Bears versus the Atlanta Falcons at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Carolina, you are a busy woman. You're a Jill of all trades, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. So tell everybody what's up with the current projects that you have right now.
Yeah, so I am a sports analyst for the San Antonio Spurs, for San Antonio Sports Star, and I talk about the Spurs. I'm also on ESPN 97.5 Houston as a Cowboys analyst. And, of course, I have my podcast, The League of Our Own podcast. I talk about all sports, whatever I feel like, because it's fun for me. And I'm also a writer at all the sites you mentioned earlier, and I'm a ring announcer at River City Wrestling. And I have a busy schedule, but I'm never too busy for you guys. You guys, you know, you do a great job every single time, and I'm just very lucky to be able to come on your show and talk about my favorite team. So thank you so much for inviting me on.
Oh, you're welcome, and I thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to think about us as well. And before I let you go, food and football go hand in hand. Whenever you have an opportunity to try to catch a Bears game, what are some of your favorite foods that you enjoy eating at Bears games? Or if you don't enjoy eating at Bears games, maybe tailgating or things of that nature, but what are some of your foods that you enjoy eating?
So my dream is to go to a Bears game. I've never been to one. I've only been to one when they played at the AT&T Center, but I want to go to Soldier Field one day. I would definitely get a slice of Beggar's Pizza. They have Beggar's at the stadium, and that was my favorite pizza growing up because I grew up on the south side of Chicago. So if you have an opportunity to go to Beggar's Pizza when you go to Soldier Field, definitely get that. when I eat on game days, I prefer chicken wings, hot wings with ranch.
That sounds like a winner right there. I want to stay with Baker's Pizza for a moment. Is it regional? Like, is it part of Chicago? Is it in the Chicagoland area, or is it in much of the Midwest? Can you go more into detail about Baker's and what are some of your favorite pizza you enjoy eating there, like maybe pepperoni or the thin crust or the deep dish? What are some of your favorites?
Beggars, it's Beggars, B-E-G-G-A-R-S. So Beggars, like a beggar who's begging for money. Yeah, it's a and it's Southside Chicago is mainly where it's at. So Chicago kind of has this beef, not a beef, but it's like if you're from the north side of Chicago, you like home run in. If you're from the south side of Chicago, you tend to move towards Beggars. And their thin crust pizza is where it's at. People in Chicago really don't do deep dish. I think that's a tourist trap. So you definitely want to get a thin crust pizza from Beggars. And a really popular topping there is Italian sausage. And I don't eat, I'm in San Antonio, and the pizza here is nasty compared to, like, Beggars. So I get pepperoni here because it's all there is. But up north, I definitely would definitely invest in getting my sausage and pepperoni pizza. It's delicious.
Is it a difference in your opinion, is it a difference in the sauce or the way they prepare the thin crust, in your opinion?
Yeah, you mean home run in or Texas versus Chicago? Because Texas is garbage.
Like you were saying, in terms of like the pizza at Baker's in Chicago as opposed to the pizza that you've tried in San Antonio, is it a difference in maybe the sauce or in the thin crust or the cheese?
Yes, I won't even settle for home run in because, like, if I had to, like, because they have home run in frozen section here, and, like, the crust is different, the sauce is different, you could tell they put more love in their pizza than they do here in San Antonio. Like, people down here do not know how to make crust, they do not know how to make sauce, they do not know how to use their toppings properly. It's just a hot mess over here. Like, people cannot make pizza down here, trust me. Up north, it's just way, you can tell they put more love into the pizza. So it's a huge difference. And I go up there and I definitely eat the pizza in Chicago. It's the bomb.
Solid. Well, you know, one thing is for sure, every city has their flavor. Every city, every region has their flavor of cuisine, no matter where you go. Definitely Chicago is known for the pizza and, of course, the Italian beef sandwiches and things of that nature. And you heard it from us. Mm-hmm. She's Carolina Teague. She's involved in a lot of things. And Carolina, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any websites that you have. Let them know that as well.
Yes, San Antonio Sports Star, and I'm on ESPN 97.5. You can find me at the League of Our Own podcast. You can find me at @CarolinaTeague_ on Twitter and Instagram.
You heard it from her. She's Carolina Teague. As always, thank you so much. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mooney in motion.
Mooney in the flat.
Fields pumps. Flag down. Fields breaks the tackle. Fields on the scramble.
Get
Fields
out of here.
In for the touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
Justin Fields.
First and goal. Fields on the run. Throwing for the end zone. Komet leaping high to pull it in for a Bears touchdown. Fields setting up, looking deep. Komet wide open. He's got it. Cole Komet to the house. 50-yard Bears touchdown. Third down. Fields will yank it, and there's room to run for Fields.
Fields,
baby.
Turn it on the speed. Fields on the angle. Trying to outrace Okuda. And he'll beat him to the goal line for the touchdown.
Oh, wow. He's already the leading rusher on third downs.
Big way.
And watch this.
67 yards for the touchdown.
We're getting man-to-man.
Fields in trouble.
Fields chase. Breaks free of two tacklers. Now trying to break the third. And Okwara has him. Julian Okwara with
Look
the
at him.
Sack.
He was just exhausted.
Looking for something to do this weekend? When it comes to sports, nothing beats cheering your team on live. Vivid Seats has tickets for every league, all the best matchups at great prices, and all with a 100% buyer guarantee. Plus, they're the only ticketing company where you can earn rewards with every purchase. No one else has that. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today and use SPORTS for $10 off your first $100 purchase. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Looking for something to do this weekend? Make up for lost time and check live events off your bucket list. Vivid Seats has tickets to sports, concerts, comedy, and theater, all at great prices, and all with a 100% buyer guarantee. Plus, they're the only ticketing company where you can earn rewards with every purchase. No one else has that. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today and use Ticket for $10 off your first $100 purchase. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
Looking for something to do this weekend? When it comes to sports, nothing beats cheering your team on live. Vivid Seats has tickets for every league, all the best matchups at great prices, and all with a 100% buyer guarantee. Plus, they're the only ticketing company where you can earn rewards with every purchase. No one else has that. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today and use SPORTS for $10 off your first $100 purchase. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Meet Extended Stay America Select Suites, a new place like home with spacious apartment-style suites and full kitchens. With Extended Stay America Select Suites, you get real, simple value. The longer you stay, the more you save. Learn more at ESA.com.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Meet Extended Stay America Select Suites, a new place like home with spacious apartment-style suites and full kitchens. With Extended Stay America Select Suites, you get real, simple value. The longer you stay, the more you save. Learn more at ESA.com.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Carolina Teague, Dallas Cowboys analyst for ESPN 97.5 in Houston, Texas, and just doing all the great things that she's currently doing in her media career. She's a diehard Chicago Bears fan, a native of the Windy City, and for again, thanks to Carolina for giving us her insights on what's to come for the Chicago Bears, including Justin Fields and, of course, head coach Matt Eberflus, among other things that she spoke on. All right, let's do this. Let's get ready now for Week 11 of the 2022 NFL season. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And as a color commentator, Chris Collinsworth once said that the NFL season starts in late November, right around Thanksgiving. So from late November going into January, this is where we really start to see teams get hungry, get nasty, get aggressive. Just like the weather gets very cold and frigid in some NFL cities, we're going to start to see a lot of the defenses and even a lot of the running games get real intense, as we've got a great slate of games that's going to be coming up from Week 11 towards the early part of January at the end of the regular season. But in the meantime, let's get right to Week 11 in the 2022 NFL season. Here are now my most important games that I selected for Week 11. Thursday night football, the Tennessee Titans squaring off against the Green Bay Packers. First for the Packers, a much-needed win over their longtime rival Dallas Cowboys in overtime last week at Lambeau Field. Aaron Rodgers made plays when he needed to. Aaron Jones was effective in the running game. How about the coming out party of Christian Watson, the rookie out of North Dakota State? Christian Watson, I think this game against the Cowboys was his coming out party and then some. So Aaron Rodgers played like Aaron Rodgers. He said that he wasn't the back-to-back league MVP for anything, and he definitely made key plays when he needed it the most in the most crucial moments. Aaron Jones ran the ball well, and as I mentioned earlier, Christian Watson came in, handled his business, and may have been his coming out party against the Cowboys. On the defensive side, Jonathan Ford played very well. Also, Adrian Amos had a sack. Kenny Clark had a sack as well. And they're going to need some major help on the defensive side for Green Bay. Rashawn Gary is going to be out after tearing his ACL. But the bottom line is this: Green Bay needed this win. They got this win, and this win could have saved their season. Good news is that they have a home game Thursday night at Lambeau Field. The bad news is that the Tennessee Titans are coming to town. Tennessee had a big win over the Denver Broncos, the struggling Denver Broncos. Ryan Tannehill was effective in the game against the Broncos, getting the victory as he returned from his injury. We know what Derrick Henry has been all about, possibly the best one of the top five best running backs in the league over the last several years. And when you think of Tennessee, you think of Ryan Tannehill. You also think of their solid defense. They're missing some key parts on the defensive side due to injury. Bud Dupree was out last week in the Denver game. Also, Jeffrey Simmons did not play as well. But they've got Kevin Byard. They've got DeNico Autry. But when it's all said and done, oh, you can't forget about David Long as well. But when it's all said and done, Tennessee's offense, it really begins with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. And this is going to be, you talk about a game that's going to be of two completely different styles. They say styles make fights. You've got the finesse of Green Bay going up against the power running game and strong defense of Tennessee. We got the Tennessee Titans versus the Green Bay Packers. Thursday night football is going to be a fun one. Important game is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Indianapolis Colts. First for the Eagles, they lost their first game this past Monday night against their rival Washington Commanders. So now there are no more undefeated teams in the NFL. For the Eagles, I'm pretty sure they're going to get back on track despite losing Dallas Goedert, their all-world tight end, due to a serious injury. He's currently on injured reserve, and they had a major injury on the defensive side for the Eagles. They did recently sign Linval Joseph, who's been an NFL veteran playing for the Giants and the Vikings. So that'll definitely help the Eagles out in the run-stopping department, helping them out on the defensive tackle side. So while the Eagles look to get back on track, the Indianapolis Colts, they got back on track at least for the time being. They beat the Las Vegas Raiders last week. So for the Colts, Matt Ryan got the start. Jonathan Taylor, he returned from his injury. He looked like Jonathan Taylor of the old against the Raiders. So, and also too, last week was interim head coaches Jeff Saturday's first career win as an NFL head coach. Could this be the game that turns the tide for the Indianapolis Colts? Could this be the game where Jeff Saturday could make a claim like, yeah, I can be the head coach, the full-time head coach of the Colts next year? We'll have to see. But right now, the Eagles and the Colts, the Eagles not happy about the loss to their division rival Commanders. Last week, they're going to go to Indianapolis with a lot to play for, a lot riding at stake. And this is going to be an interesting one. Again, the Colts played with some urgency now that Jeff Saturday, for the moment, is their head coach. He's at the interim level. So we'll see what happens down the line, how strong they finish towards the end. But the Eagles and the Colts definitely should be an interesting game as of Indianapolis. It seems as though they have a lot to play for. The hunger is starting to come back while Philadelphia is trying to maintain and win and get that loss behind them over Washington. Next game is going to be the New York Jets versus the New England Patriots, a classic AFC East rivalry game between the Jets and the Patriots. Both teams bye week last week, so both teams enjoyed their time off. The week before that, however, the Jets won a big one over the Buffalo Bills. The New England Patriots took care of business, beating the Indianapolis Colts. So the last time the Jets were in the news, it was reports about Zach Wilson. A lot of questions were asked about, is Zach Wilson the one to lead the team towards the future for the New York Jets? Can he be the one to sustain the starting quarterback position for Gayne Green? Well, so far so good. The team is at 6-3, but also with the recent acquisition of James Robinson from the Jacksonville Jaguars, Garrett Wilson's played nice as of late, excuse me, and also on the defensive side, C.J. Mosley's been the bomb this year. How about the rookie Sauce Gardner? Sauce Gardner has been so good, and of course, it's really been a rookie invasion for the Jets with Sauce Gardner on the defensive side and Garrett Wilson on the offensive side. So the Jets getting back on their winning ways, they believe Zach Wilson is the one that can be at the quarterback position. As for New England, Mac Jones, there's still a lot of people believe that Mac can be the starting quarterback for New England. Again, as I mentioned earlier, they had an impressive win over the Indianapolis Colts just under 2 weeks ago. So the Jets and Patriots, this is an intense game. The Jets are over 500. The Patriots are over 500. This is really good. This is the Jets and Patriots. When you think of these two teams, I don't think there's been much hype for this game really since the late 2000s and early 2010s when you had Mark Sanchez and Santonio Holmes and LaDainian Tomlinson and Plaxico Burress and Braylon Edwards and, of course, Bart Scott playing for the Jets and Rex Ryan being the head coach. So it's been a minute since the Jets and the Patriots have had major hype for this rivalry game. It's good. I like it. And so Jets and Patriots, they're going to meet up at Foxborough at Gillette Stadium. Next game is going to be the Cleveland Browns going up against the Buffalo Bills. First off, for Cleveland, disappointing loss last week to the Miami Dolphins. For the Buffalo Bills, disappointing loss last week to the Minnesota Vikings, overtime loss. Josh Allen battling an elbow injury. He's going to play in this game against Cleveland. So Josh Allen, he's going to be ready to go. He's not going to stop running and passing the ball, being a dual threat quarterback. Stephon Diggs is going to get his, and Gabe Davis is going to get his as well. I'm sure Dawson Knox is going to contribute. And what about this Buffalo defense that's been solid all year long? Unfortunately, they weren't solid last week against the Vikings, giving up 33 points. But when you have Von Miller, Ed Oliver, also Matt Milano, I mean, you can't go wrong with these guys. I mean, they're going to bring the heat, and they're going to be bringing the heat against Jacoby Brissett and the Cleveland Browns. And they're going to have to bring plenty of heat to contain Cleveland's running game, probably the best running game in the league, led by Nick Chubb. And you also have Kareem Hunt. And also, Deshaun Watson is going to be returning very soon. As a matter of fact, Deshaun has returned to practice this week, and he'll play his first game in early December. So the Deshaun Watson countdown has officially begun for Cleveland. But in the meantime, Jacoby Brissett is going to have his hands full against that stifling Buffalo defense. And speaking of being stifling, the weather forecast in the Buffalo area, well, in Orchard Park to be exact, where the Bills play, they are expecting major lake effect snow. Yes, they are expecting at least between 4 to 6 feet of snow in that area. So Buffalo, they're no stranger to snow games. Cleveland is no stranger to snow games. But, man, this is going to be intense. This is going to be intense. And as I stated earlier, the NFL season starts in late November going into early January. So it's going to be stifling. Both teams play hard. But the snow, the lake effect snow, that is, it's even harder. So Cleveland and Buffalo are going to be an interesting game. The next game that I selected is the Detroit Lions going up against the New York Giants. Let's start off with the Lions. A big win last week over the Chicago Bears, their NFC North division rival. Jared Goff made plays when he needed to the most. Jamal Williams was effective. How about Amon-Ra St. Brown? Amon-Ra's been very, very good since joining of the Lions. He's really been Jared Goff's security blanket in a lot of situations. He's really had to step up since the Lions lost T.J. Hockenson at the trade deadline going over to Minnesota. Aiden Hutchinson, the rookie, Aiden's been nice. Also, Alex Anzalone has been a tackling machine. And then you had Julian Okwara, who had a good game against the Bears last week with two sacks. Jeff Okuda had an interception last week. He's been one of the bright spots for the Lions. As for the Giants pulled off a close win over the Houston Texans. How about Daniel Jones? I must say this, the New York faithful, a lot of Giants fans were really calling for Daniel Jones. They were calling for him. They were saying he needed to get out, wasn't producing. But I think so far this has been the year that Daniel is finally getting over the hump. He's proven the naysayers wrong. He's made key plays when he's had to in clutch situations. How about Saquon Barkley? Definitely a candidate for the league comeback player of the year. It's either or between him and Geno Smith. But the Giants playing some great ball, not just on the offensive side, but making key plays on the defensive side. So it's going to be a great game at the Meadowlands in East Rutherford, New Jersey, at MetLife Stadium between the Detroit Lions and the New York Giants. The Dallas Cowboys square off against the Minnesota Vikings. Dallas lost a tough one to their longtime rival Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin in overtime last week. As for the Vikings, a thrilling victory in overtime over the Buffalo Bills. So while Minnesota is riding a major high right now, Dallas, on the other hand, they're trying to get it together. I said earlier, as far as the NFC East is concerned, Philadelphia right now is at the peak of their powers right now. The Giants are playing well. Also, Washington has been off and on, but it seems as though Washington's been trying to get on track, and they're starting to get on track. And the game that they beat Philadelphia last week could make a big difference. And Dallas is trying to find their way as well. So Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, and the Commanders all in the NFC East. Dallas has got a tough task ahead of them going to Minneapolis to play the Vikings. Again, as I mentioned earlier, Dak Prescott, a lot of talk about him during the week. Jerry's made it perfectly clear that he's going to stick with Dak. He feels that Dak has all the right tools to get the team to a Super Bowl. You know, we'll see what happens. Ezekiel Elliott did not play last week against the Packers. He may play in this game against the Vikings. Tony Pollard was sensational in the game last week against Green Bay, despite coming up short. As for the Vikings, we know about Kirk Cousins. We know about the chef, Dalvin Cook. But what about the explosive wide receiver, Justin Jefferson? Justin Jefferson made one heck of a catch last week against the Bills. Made with the one-hand catch, just taking it. I mean, Justin Jefferson, he looks like he can catch a ball in the middle of traffic, oncoming traffic, that is. I mean, he is just so phenomenal. We're watching one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents at the wide receiver position. So Cowboys, Vikings, going to be a good one up in Minneapolis. Sunday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Los Angeles Chargers. First for Kansas City, they were able to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in a very close game. Patrick Mahomes did what Patrick Mahomes did best, throwing touchdowns, making plays with his arm and his legs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not play in this game, but Isaiah Pacheco, he's a dynamo. When they lost Tyreek Hill, people were wondering who's going to be the next Tyreek on this team. Well, guess what? It's Isaiah Pacheco, and Pacheco's been playing some great ball this year. On the receiving side, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, also Jerick McKinnon, Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster, they did their parts, made their contributions felt in this game. But Travis is just a bad boy. I mean, him, and you could put him and also George Kittle as the top tight ends in the NFL. So Kansas City, offensively, they're going to be good. However, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, hampered by an injury. Him and Juju Smith-Schuster have been hampered by for the game against the Chargers. As for the L.A. Chargers, L.A. lost a tough one to their in-state rival San Francisco 49ers last week. Justin Herbert, we know that he's a future star. He's one of those once-in-a-lifetime talents at his position. DeAndre Carter played a good game last week against San Francisco. Austin Eckler doing what he does best, both running and receiving the ball. Khalil Mack wind up getting a sack in this game. So, again, Joey Bosa, He's hurt. He's been out for a while. He may not play in this game against Kansas City. But at the end of the day, it's really all about the quarterbacks. We are watching the future of the NFL in terms of quarterback rivalries with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. An AFC West rivalry game that has been intense for decades. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers, Sunday Night Football. And on Monday Night Football, we have the final game of the NFL International Series in Mexico City. It'll be between the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals in a division rivalry game representing the NFC West. First for Arizona, big win last week over the LA Rams. Kyler Murray did not play in last week's game due to having a hamstring injury. We don't know what the status is going to be for him in the game in Mexico City. If he doesn't play in this game, Colt McCoy most likely will get the start. Zach Ertz is also hampered by injuries as well, but one thing is for certain, Rondell Moore and James Conner, they're going to bring it on the offensive side. And, of course, you can't forget about D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins, so explosive, one of the premier wide receivers currently in his prime right now. As for the San Francisco 49ers' big win over their in-state rival, Los Angeles Chargers, last Sunday night, Jimmy Garoppolo doing what Jimmy G does best, protecting the football, low turnover rate, getting the job done, putting the ball right where he needs to have it at, being very accurate. Elijah Mitchell was effective coming back from injury. Deebo Samuel doing what Deebo Samuel does best, being a great combo player. Christian McCaffrey, I tell you one, 49ers offense was different before. It's even more different now with Christian McCaffrey being in the mix as well. And Christian can do it running. He can do it catching the ball. And certainly someone that has been doing it for quite a while now is this 49er defense. Nick Bosa, Jordan Willis, Jimmy Ward, Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner. Of course, how about the emergence of Talanoa Hufanga? Talanoa has been playing great this year for the 49ers and just continue to add to that dominance of the defense, that hard-nosed defense that San Francisco likes to play. So it's going to be a festive mood in one of the world's greatest cities, Mexico City, in the final game in the NFL International Series between the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. All right, now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Dallas Cowboys versus the Minnesota Vikings. The NFL has been a quarterback's league for a long time now, and this game is going to showcase the quarterbacks, Dak Prescott versus Kirk Cousins, doing very well right now. Who would have thought the Minnesota Vikings would be in first place in the NFC North? I would have not guessed that in a million years. I thought Green Bay would be the one in first place. Not the case. Chicago struggling this year. Detroit is trying to find its way. But, man, the Minnesota Vikings have looked great this year. Offensively, they are stacked. Defensively, they've been solid this year. But offensively, they are loaded with Cousins at quarterback. You have the chef, Dalvin Cook. Also, you have Justin Jefferson, who's a generational talent at the wide receiver position. So you've got Minnesota going up against America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott, Tony Pollard. You got Dalton Schultz, who's a nice tight end. And, of course, you have a generational talent on the defensive side with Micah Parsons. Dallas and Minnesota, I mean, these two teams, I mentioned earlier in the program about the Cowboys and Packers rivalry being intense. You can't forget about the Cowboys-Vikings rivalry being intense. It goes back to the Hail Mary game, Roger Staubach, the Drew Pearson, also the Vikings and the Cowboys, the largest player trade in NFL history, better known as the Herschel Walker trade. And let's just say the Vikings, they got nothing with Herschel Walker. It's considered one of the worst trades in NFL history. We know how it turned out for the Dallas Cowboys, being the team of the 90s, winning 3 Super Bowls. And again, Randy Moss on Thanksgiving Day doing damage against the Cowboys. And again, this game, Dallas and the Vikings, phenomenal game. What can you say about these two teams? Great histories great history between these two teams, America's team, the Vikings, Cowboys, great game. And we know about the Cowboys and their victories. The last time these two teams played, if I'm not mistaken, it was actually Halloween last year when Cooper Rush came in and he put on a show. It was his first NFL start, and he came in, he just handled his business. Cooper Rush came in and won a close one for the Cowboys. The final score was 20-16. That was a game on Sunday Night Football. So again, here we are again with the Cowboys and the Vikings. We know about the history of this team. We know what both of these teams are capable of, the history of this team, of these two franchises, both very proud franchises, Hall of Famers galore, future Hall of Famers galore, talent at its best. You can't go wrong when you have Dallas and Minnesota. And certainly, this is going to be fireworks. We talk about Dallas and Green Bay being fireworks. I think Dallas and Minnesota is going to have some fireworks of its own. It's going to be exciting. We got Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins. We got Tony Pollard, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. We also got Micah Parsons. This is going to be great. The Dallas Cowboys versus the Minnesota Vikings, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give you my picks on who I think will win Week 11's most important games in the NFL. I want to start off with the Thursday night football game between the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers. I like Green Bay to win that game. The Philadelphia Eagles versus the Indianapolis Colts, the Eagles will bounce back. I like Philadelphia. The New York Jets square off against the New England Patriots. I like the Patriots to beat the Jets. The Cleveland Browns versus the Buffalo Bills, that weather is expected to be off the chain, but I like Buffalo to beat Cleveland. The Detroit Lions square off against the New York Giants. I like the Giants to continue their winning ways. My game of the week, the Dallas Cowboys versus the Minnesota Vikings. I like Minnesota to win that game. Sunday night football, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Los Angeles Chargers. I like Kansas City to win that game. And on Monday night football, the last game of the NFL International Series in Mexico City between the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. I like San Francisco to win. So my picks on who I think will win Week 11's most important games are Green Bay, Philadelphia, New England, Buffalo, New York Giants, Minnesota, Kansas City, and San Francisco. And that's it. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to Carolina Teague, Dallas Cowboys analyst for ESPN 97.5 in Houston, Texas, and also a writer for the San Antonio Spurs SB Nation blog, Pounding the Rock, also a San Antonio Spurs insider for San Antonio Sports Star, also a writer for Sports As Told by a Girl, and also host of the League of Her Own podcast, and also a ring announcer for River City Wrestling, which is the San Antonio, Texas-based wrestling promotion. Again, big special thank you to Carolina for coming on the program, talking about her hometown, Chicago Bears. And until next week, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound.